You're listening to Byline on WFPL. Okay, we want to welcome everyone back to Byline on WFPL, and it is time for our arts segment. And joining us is WFPL's Aaron Keene. Hi, Aaron, welcome back.
Hi, Rick. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Great. Fantastic.
Well, an exciting weekend here in Louisville for ballet as the Dance Theater of Harlem's touring company is back after an eight-year hiatus. And its first stop, the Kentucky Center.
Absolutely. I spoke with the artistic director, Virginia Johnson, this week, and I said, so why is the Dance Theater of Harlem kicking off its first national tour in 8 years? The professional company has been on hiatus while the educational companies continue to go just because of post-9/11 financial struggles happened to a lot of arts organizations. I said, why are you kicking off here in Kentucky and not at the Lincoln Center? Hello? And she said, you know, the Dance Theater of Harlem was really excited to partner with Louisville on this first stop of their tour, which is going to take them all across the country, crisscrossing for the next year, because of one of the things that really impressed them was how well integrated arts and arts education were in our community. So because while they're here, the members of the professional company are also leading master classes and I think 5 JCPS schools, movement classes as well as working with the Kentucky Center's Arts Reach Arts Education Program also. So they're not just blowing in through town to give a performance. They're really working with the local community and in their program as well. So the first big performance is tomorrow night, Saturday evening at the Kentucky Center. And on the bill is among there's many classical works, but the mixed repertory bill also includes a piece that it's a world premiere. And it's called Return, and it's a ballet, so it's classical dance, but it's backed by like Aretha Franklin and James Brown. Mm-hmm. So you kind of have that mix of classic and contemporary, and it's going to include some of the young ballet dancers from the Louisville Ballet School. Now, this is an amazing opportunity for these kids who are training here with the Louisville Ballet to come in a few days ahead of time. It's a whirlwind wham-bam rehearsal, but they're going to be performing on stage with some of the most exciting, best ballet dancers in the country. And the Dance Theater of Harlem is a significant institution because they are dedicated to racial diversity in ballet. And when I spoke with the artistic director, with Virginia Johnson, I asked her about, you know, what's been the national impact of the Dance Theater of Harlem being on hiatus for the past 8 years.
There is the whole idea of diversity in ballet is a question that continues to come up, and I think that there is a generation of dancers who that were missed because there was no Dance Theater of Harlem for 8 years. When I went to audition for this new company, we did a national tour, and I was a little disappointed because whereas I saw some dancers, I did not see that level of excellence that I was actually looking for. And I feel like during the 8 years that Dance Theater of Harlem was not on the stage, that there were dancers who may have aspired to be a ballerina or a premier dancer, but who were not encouraged where they were training because there was no place that they traditionally thought they would be able to go. So they might have gotten shunted off into modern dance or just shunted off into another career entirely. The presence of Dance Theater of Harlem on the scene actually created the idea in a generation of young people that, oh yes, I can do this. And without us out there performing on the stages, I think that we lost some people.
I think it really does speak to the necessity of visible mentorship.
Yes.
Being able to see yourself reflected in the highest echelons of any art form, I think, does give young people the permission to be aspirational about what they're doing.
Absolutely.
And say that could be me as well.
Yes, yes. You know, that happened to me. When I was growing up in Washington, I studied ballet. I was a kid, you know. I just fell in love with it and just had to do it. And I didn't really notice that I didn't look like everybody else in the classroom because I was so maniacal about doing this. But I remember very much sitting in the audience and seeing a performance by Martha Graham, the Martha Graham Company, and Mary Hinkson came on the stage. And I had a physical sensation because I recognized myself and her, and I didn't realize I hadn't seen myself before. So it was a very powerful moment. So I completely agree with you. There is that need to have an example in front of you for a young person who doesn't have all the reasoning faculties going to be able to identify with.
So Dance Theater of Harlem is on up at the Kentucky Center in Whitney Hall tomorrow, Saturday evening. And this is an historic moment. So hopefully all of you dance fans out there will and get your kids together and go, too. You know, I think it's going to be a pretty amazing performance.
And Halloween is approaching, to change the subject here.
Yes.
And what a better time to stage a production of Macbeth. And that's exactly what they're doing down at the Iroquois Amphitheater.
It is a gray, drizzly, Scottish kind of day outside today.
Yeah.
So perfect Macbeth weather. If we were in the theater right now, I couldn't say the name of the play. It's a theater superstition. You call it the Scottish play instead. But Savage Rose Classical Theater has a new production of Macbeth up at the Iroquois Amphitheater, but not the way you've seen the Iroquois Amphitheater before. They create what they call the Parkside Studio by closing the big stage door, and they set up a stage on the stage and audience seating as well. So it's climate controlled. So it's perfect for these winter months. And it's a great way to create a sort of new intimate space out there in the wonderful renovated facility that the Iroquois Amphitheater has. The Savage Rose production has some interesting twists. If you've seen Macbeth before, you might not have seen it like this. There's some nudity, for example.
Oh,
Rick.
What?
Yeah, we don't often think of Macbeth as the sexy play, as a sexy Shakespeare, but it's not sexy nudity. It's very raw, grief-stricken nudity, but Lady Macbeth's famous sleepwalking scene spot is going to be performed in the nude. There's some interesting textual reasons for that as well. Artistic director Barrett Cooper says there may be some people who find nudity on stage a taboo, but that we don't need to tell the story. But by stripping away the mask of clothing, we replace it with another of vulnerability. So Lady Macbeth, who is generally considered a not very sympathetic character, becomes very sympathetic in this treatment.
Why is it unlucky to say the title instead of that Scottish play?
Oh, there's, nobody really knows the definitive origin of this myth, but theater folk are a superstitious folk. And there's thought to be ghosts that have haunted old productions of Macbeth. It's the same reason why you don't tell somebody good luck before they go on stage. You say break a leg.
Just an old theater tradition.
Yeah.
And very quickly, just a few seconds left, but you're expanding your coverage on, especially on our website, into food and dining, right?
Absolutely. We have two of the most exciting food writers in town writing for WFPL.org now, covering the food and dining beat. Our first story is up by Ashley Clark Thompson. You might know her from the blog Ashley Eats. She's going to be covering food news and the casual dining scene. And Dana McMahon, who is a travel writer and food writer about town, is going to start doing restaurant reviews for us. So expanded coverage on WFPL.org.
WFPL Arts and Humanities reporter Erin Keene. You can hear her, of course, here on WFPL and see and hear her work and reviews and a lot more at WFPL.org. Erin, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much, Rick.